All right, we want to praise the Lord on this May the 5th, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. What a beautiful day God gave us to enjoy. And I'll tell you what, there was a time my feet wouldn't be found in the house of God, but I have to admit, after I sat at His table, I've been there ever since. Amen. God's got all the good that we need in this life, and He loads us down with benefits every day. And the psalmist said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, enter His gates with thanksgiving. I mean, I just can't get enough praising God. We're going to get Brother Donnie up here to read the scripture for us here in just a minute. Sister Bonnie called me yesterday. She did get her other eye, the cataract, done. They done it this time by laser. And she said she still couldn't see real clear. And she thought she might ought to make the decision to stay home. I agree with that decision. I don't want anybody to put their health or their life in jeopardy. I want you to use sense about coming to the house of God. It's not worth either getting hurt or hurting someone else. I'm as zealous as anybody. But when I can't go, I can't go. Amen. And when I can't go, I watch it on the line. Amen. I get somebody on there to teach, preach, or sing about Jesus. Glory to God. Sister Joanne. She got to come home from the Signature Healthcare in Bowling Green on Friday. And her little dog Bear is glad to see her. And her family is glad to see her. And she's glad to be able to sleep in her own bed. You know, we take for granted a lot of things of this life. And, you know, when you don't have them, you really appreciate them when you get them back. Amen. Amen. And I know my wife was glad to get home. She had a terrible day yesterday. Twice yesterday, I thought she'd done left this world, but I went over and she was still breathing. She was just deathly still, just not, didn't have a good day at all yesterday. She's doing a little better this morning. And we want to say we've been praying for Judy and Geraldine. Mm-hmm. And we love Sister Judy and Sister Geraldine. I believe if they could be here, they would be here. Me and Brother Donnie stopped picking them up. Mm-hmm. But they're just, their health's in decline. And Joel said, wearisome nights are appointed unto me. When they get here, you'll understand what that verse means. Right now, we're enjoying the goodness of God. And the goodness of God brings men to repentance. If men just stop and think about how good God's been to them, they'd have a whole lot more gratitude and Amen. Thanksgiving for God. Amen.
Amen.
I think sometimes we just go through the motions of life. We forget the main reason for life. Mm-hmm. We're created for His pleasure. And one day we'll understand it all. Brother Bradley Lewis passed away, graduated this life, and they're having his funeral, I think. I don't have all the details on this, but I think they're having his funeral Wednesday this week, but they'll have a wake service tomorrow night, be visitation all week long, I think, and just saying goodbye to a great soldier of the cross. Brother Bradley, a great preacher, doing a great work of God. And, you know, this little short life, but a vapor appeared for a little while. We don't know ourselves how much sand's in our glass. Kind of like that wicked witch on the Wizard of Oz. Turn that hourglass over and told Dorothy, that's all you got left. That's the way our life is. We don't know how much we got left. But I'm glad we got another life.
Amen.
In our Savior Jesus Christ. We've been praying for Mark and Kay. They've been doing somewhat better. Bonnie said she gave me an update. And we're praying for them. We got Bruce, Donna Moorhead, a lot of people, health getting frail. Phyllis, her sister, Brother Mitchell, we're just going to have a quick word of prayer. Father, we're glad You're the great physician.
Yes,
You're the Lord God that healeth us, Lord.
Yes,
in You we live and move and have our being. And Lord, I just pray Your blessing upon Your children. I pray Your blessing upon Your work. Bless Your singers. Bless Your teachers and Your preachers of the Word of God. Bless, Lord, I pray all the work, Lord of God. I pray, Father, Lord, even for the ones that are struggling. I pray they'll keep going. I pray they'll keep the doors open, lights on. Keep compelling people to come. And Lord, those that's running over, may they be thankful. May they not forget God in the midst of all that prosperity of not only, Lord, having so many coming. Lord, we think sometimes we may lose sight of God and forget, like America's done, Lord, that it cannot exist without God. I would to God that America could come itself and have a Nineveh type repentance in America from the greatest to the least repent. We pray for all those, Father, on our list. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for your blessings upon this Sunday school lesson this morning. Help us to be a blessing. We give you praise and glory and ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Get Brother Donnie up here and read our verses Amen. Today. Oh, yes, I want to thank the Lord again for allowing me to
Amen.
Stand up here and read His Word. I love the whole Bible, but I also love to read, you know, Psalms 23, you know, and that's really,
Amen.
Really special, really hits home. Of course, the whole Bible does, you know, but I just love reading Psalms 23. Plus, I get to look at Brother Eric's face right here before me.
Amen.
I love it too.
If you got to wear the same shirt this morning.
Amen. Amen. Psalms 23, verse 1. I know a lot of people's heard all of these verses, 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. And they really tug home. They hit Amen. Your heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen. And
that was verse 1. Mm-hmm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's
Amen.
Sake.
Amen.
Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell, oh praise the Lord, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, if that don't put goosebumps, chill bumps, any kind of bumps else on your body, there's something wrong with you.
That's right.
Amen.
I mean, that right there, the last verse is really, really hits home.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. I will say this about those verses, Brother Donnie read there, that they have been heard a lot. God's bread that never gets stale. But I do want to say this about these six verses. If verse 1's not true, you forget about verse 6.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That I shall dwell in the house of the Lord hinges upon the Lord being your shepherd. He's coming for His sheep. His sheep know His name. They know His voice. He knows their name. I might not have got that exactly right. Been struggling a little. Let me get my notes out here. While you got notes, Brother Eddie, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and you'll understand why I got notes.
Mm-hmm.
Says, because a preacher was wise. He still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. That's why we got notes here, amen. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Let me read one more verse here real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the world are come. Now the world hadn't ended yet, and the Word of God's still here, and it's going to end. But you know what? For our admonition, God had these things written in the Word of God for us to draw from. It's a well that never runs dry. Verse 1 here says, the Lord is my, and you notice this is singular, the Lord, singular, my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, that can only be true by the resurrected Savior of Psalms 22. We just finished this last week. Psalms 22, verse 22. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Here's the resurrected Savior from Calvary, which is mentioned here in Psalms 22. It's a psalm about the crucifixion for Calvary ever came to be, before Rome ever came a nation. I'm telling you here, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. That can only be true, verse 1, about the Lord being my shepherd, because of the resurrection of the Savior. And the last two verses, Psalms 22, says a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he have done this. You see, we're kind of like a product of the work that God did. He done it like a Paul told King Agrippa, this thing wasn't done in no corner. It wasn't like he could miss this. I mean, you can put your head in the sand if you want to. There's just too much evidence. He told King Agrippa, he said, believest thou? He said, I know thou believest. This thing wasn't done in no corner. And it wasn't. God put his son right out there in front of everybody. And the serpent, his son, I'll tell you, they realized something happened that day. One of the centurions that they smote on his breast and said, surely this was the Son of God. I mean, they saw something that day at Calvary, amen. Says, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. You know, we're just carrying this message, carrying this treasure in these earthen vessels. Verse 1, boy, speaks volumes about our Savior. Amen. He's the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. And now he's the great shepherd caring for the sheep. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That lying down, you know, no anxiety, no fear. A lot of people, they take, you know, got my pillow, help you sleep, take pill, help you sleep. I have to admit, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and I don't have any problem with fear, don't have any problem with anxiety. That leading mentioned there, I said he leadeth me, is mentioned more clearly in verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I get up in the morning to pray, and I do this pretty much every morning, I pray first of all, Lord, forgive me my sins, wash and cleanse me my sin, deliver me from evil and temptation. I say, Lord, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Order my steps. Help me to walk in them. Help me be a blessing to you. Help me be a blessing to others. We want to get our day started out right, so I ask for help that day. And you should too. The good shepherd, he wants to lead you. And he will lead you if you'll let him. Now, he ain't going to make you do nothing.
Right.
Our motivation ought to be, we desire to be a blessing. Amen. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody say one time that the Lord's worthy to receive the reward of his suffering. And he is. He may not ever get it, but he's worthy to receive it. I mean, I owed a debt I couldn't pay.
Right.
I still got debts, but not the kind of debt I owed that day. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And he stepped down and paid a debt he did not owe so I could go to heaven. It was out of reach.
Well, I noticed, brother, you know, my desire seems to keep getting stronger the further along my walk with the good Lord. And that's what I thank the Lord for. My desire don't stay the same.
Right.
It gets in me. It gets stronger. Yeah. Sometimes I understand it, you know what I mean?
You're right.
It does, you know, and I thank the Lord for that.
Yeah. He has begun a good work in us, the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 1. And he has begun a good work in us. In some ways we are finished work, but in other words, we're still growing.
Right.
It says, being confident of this, that he's begun a good work in you, will continue it to day of... Come on, Brother Eddie. Thought I could just turn to it. In 1 Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that Donnie's talking about, you know, he just keeps getting renewed, keeps going, can't quit. And the reason we can't is because he don't quit. He keeps loading our wagon down, loading us with benefits every day, blessing us to the point. I don't know about y'all, but every now and then I just got to put my hands up and say, thank you, glory. I get over, my cup runs over, like that last verse, or that fifth verse says, my cup runs over all the time.
I pray that my family, Chelsea, I pray that she gets up. That's what I was praying this morning. I pray that she gets up and the desire pops in her head.
Yeah.
And she starts asking me more.
Amen. That's what you're supposed to do, Brother Donnie.
And I mean, just that desire. You want everybody. You want every Christian to have that desire.
Right.
That's right.
You're talking about praying for them children. Job here, he prayed for his children. And he said, it may be that they curse God in their hearts there in Job chapter 1, verse 5. It says, Job sent, talked about his sons, went and feasted in their house, everyone in his day. I guess it's talking about his birthday. And sent, called their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent, sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Mm-hmm. Thus did Job continually. He's the right kind of father. He prayed for his children. And Donnie talking about praying for his daughter Chelsea, and that's what we need to do.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. They need our prayers. They need us to set the right example before them, that they can at least know what's expected of them. You know, a good example, you can't hardly, actions speak louder than words, but you can't hardly beat a good example there in the book of Acts. They took note of those disciples. They've been with Jesus, and they called them Christians. Amen. And people's watching you. You may not think they are, but they are.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what they're watching for? They want you to slip.
Yeah, they want you to mess up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you slip or mess up, and we do.
Mm-hmm.
When you slip and mess up, they say, whew.
Thought you was a Christian.
I thought there was something to that.
Yeah, I thought you was a pastor.
Yeah. And we do mess up. Jimmy Swaggart messed up. And he went publicly and repented. I appreciate him doing that, but he kept messing up. I don't, you know, I think he should have learned that first time, but he kept on going in that direction. The Bible says he had been off to reproof, should suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And I'll tell you what, buddy, the way a transgressor is hard, old brother Swaggart there, he better be careful about that. You know, God makes sure that you get caught. That's why you don't need to do it. People think they can get away. Achan there in the book of Joshua, they went up against Jericho and thought, ah, no big deal, little old place there. No, it was Ai, it wasn't Jericho. They just got through conquering Jericho. And they went up a little old city, Ai. They said, I'll just send a few, just a little old city. And they beat them, I mean, like a drum. And Joshua fell down and cried, Lord, Lord, your children being beat down their enemies. God said, get up or send the camp. And come to find out, it was Achan. He thought he could take a Babylonian garment. He thought he could take a wedge of gold and a piece of silver. He did take them, put them in his tent. And Joshua said, confess. And he did. He said, I saw it. I coveted it. I got it. It's in my tent. They went out there, and sure enough, there it was. They took him out. They took the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold, the silver, and his family and his children and everything he had. And they stoned him with stones. And they put a big heap of stones over top of them. There's no profit in sin. I'll tell you right now, the Bible says in, I believe it's Numbers 23:32, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. And even though the context of that is about, you know, them wanting to build on the other side of Jordan, it still applies. Sin will find you out. The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? There's been a lot of people got caught in over their head and sin. Amen. All right, I don't know where we was at, but let's get back here. I think it was in verse 2. That lying down, you know, that good shepherd causes me not to have anxiety, not to have any fear. And look in Mark chapter 4 here real quick. Well, come on, Eddie. I found Luke, found Matthew. I know it's Mark in between here. Mark chapter number 4, look at verse 37. And this does happen. Now, this is, even though this is mentioned as a storm, spiritually, these kind of things happen too. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now remember, he's the good shepherd. These are sheep. They're like me. They're still learning that they don't have to fear. And he's teaching them that they don't have to fear. But they haven't learned it yet. And they're afraid. You notice the ship's full. Hey, I've been fishing all my life. I've been in all kind of boats. And when they get full, they sink. This one don't sink. Verse 37, the ship, it was now full. A full ship goes to the bottom. Somebody said, as long as water don't get in the ship floats on the water, but if the water gets in the ship goes down. Amen? And anyway, the reason this ship didn't sink is because it had Savior, had Jesus, the good shepherd on board. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, that happened to me April 27th, 1988. I was in the worst storm ever. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, buddy, the pains of hell had a hold of me. And I was in travail as a woman with child. Something had to give, and I'm glad the Lord took control of my storm. And not only did He take away my problem, my sins, took away my condemnation, my guilt, but He gave me that peace that passes understanding and that joy unspeakable of being saved. But that good shepherd, He leads us beside the still waters, and there's a great calm. That great shepherd of the sheep. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. It says, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Now, Christians don't always do right. They should. I mean, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, a lot of people don't do that reasonable service, and they get in trouble. I'm trying to remember their name. Woman. Come on. Benny. No. I can't remember their name. Come on, Eddie. They got put in prison. They was shysters. Faye. Let's see. Come on, Eddie. They got a big old TV thing there. You know, these so-called evangelists, all that stuff, and end up getting caught. Embezzling money and doing all kinds of stuff and people and stuff. I can't think of their name for nothing. He went to prison and I can't think of the name. She wore a big old wig on, eyelashes out to here. I can't think.
Tammy Faye Baker.
And what was her husband's name? Tammy Faye, that's right. Tammy. And I think her husband's name was Ben or something like that. But anyway, see, you got to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. How could you present yourself holy, acceptable unto God? Your conversation, your conduct, all of the things that would give honor to Him. You know, Daniel couldn't do nothing about the decree that was passed, but he prayed just like he did before. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego couldn't do nothing about the predicament they was in. They said, hey, we ain't going to bow. You know, I think we've got today a lot of people dancing to the wrong music, bowing to the wrong image. And anyway, I think, you know, our reasonable service ought to be to our good shepherd, amen.
Amen.
And the next verse says, and be not conformed to this world. And a lot of churches today are doing that. I mean, I'm telling you, the world ain't got no business in the church. The Bible says the friendship of this world ended with God. And I have to battle this a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, there needs to be some discretion. Me and Donnie, we talk about discretion all the time. And I still like some of them old songs. I hear them every now and then. And, and I have to admit, the flesh in me still craves that.
Yeah.
But the spirit in me wants to hear songs that I like them songs like Sister Rita sings. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yes,
amen. I like them. Me and Donnie, we talk about that all the time. Amen. But I like hear singing that gives honor and glory to Him. But that Paul said a man is straight, 22. And sometimes that battle between that inward man, that outward man, I'm telling you, this good shepherd helps us with that. Mm-hmm. He helps us in this battle. Verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. In Acts chapter 17, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic here, but I want you to listen real good to this. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Says, for in Him we live. You know, if you're not in Him, you're dead in trespasses and sins. I mean, you're going through the motions of life, but you're full of dead man's bones. I mean, tell you, you think you're living, but you've never lived till Jesus has took His rightful place upon the throne of your heart. And I know that personally. I've been on both sides of that. In Him we live and move, you know. We think like Samson, you know. I'll go out as other times. Samson didn't go out as other times. But we think we're going to. Our resource for life is in Him. Our ability to do things we do are in Him. And you ain't going to get too far without Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. You know, one of the biggest problems today is mental illness. And of course, drugs ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, we've legalized everything, I guess, but murder. But you know what? It's okay now. Recreational marijuana, now unlimited marijuana, alcohol, all that mind-altering drugs. Look, I've been there. I can remember sitting there in such a drunken stupor. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was. I'm telling you, one time I drove home and I'm sitting in the car and it's running. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't even know how I even got home. I do not know how I made it home. That kind of foolishness will have an effect on your mind. But Him, in Him you can live.
Mm-hmm.
In Him, I'm soon to be 71 years old. In Him you can move. Donnie will tell you, I'll go down and pick up Flint. I've got 90 pounds of rock in each hand. Donnie said, what you doing it for? I said, I like them Benjamin Franklins, amen. And I'm packing them. Hey, that's poor man's gold. Don't knock it. I sold 2 boxes last night while I was sleeping, amen. But in Him, we live and have our live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get too far without Him. We're talking about the great shepherd. We done talked about the good shepherd. We're talking about the great shepherd now. In Psalms 23, He's portrayed as the great shepherd here. And I think I was in verse 3. Yeah. Also look at Romans chapter 11, verse 36. I knew we wouldn't go get probably very far in this because there's a lot of territory I wasn't covering this. Romans chapter 11, look at verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. It's all about Him. You got Him, you got everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
He that has the Son has life. Hey, I'm alive today because of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
He's the one that breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. We've been reproducing ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, He set the stage for everything. Mm-hmm. He formed the earth, formed it being inhabited. And I feel sorry for these people that can't enjoy a perfectly created environment. Got air, got water, got seasons. I mean, we got spring, summer, fall, winter, and they just can't leave well enough alone. And you know, trying to bury carbon in the ground. Let me let you on a little bit of clue. Y'all ever heard of thing called rain? Guess what it does? It washes the air. Don't worry about the carbon. It washes there. Where's it go? Goes to the earth. fall back up, start all over again. Climate. I'll tell you what's scary is they've been sowing clouds with chemicals to make it cloudy, to hide the sun, to hold back global warming. We breathe that air. There are pores in there. That ought to scare you. Don't worry about this stupid nonsense of global warming. God, the biggest threat to humanity is man himself. If man won't let God be God, then man's going to end up killing us because he can't do what God can do. He does all things well. He formed the earth, Isaiah 45:18. He formed the earth to be inhabited. That's why we got somewhere to live. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to read that even though I quoted that. Isaiah 45:18. He formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There's none else. Nobody can take His place. If you want to live and move, have your sanity, your being, you better get in touch with Him.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, He's the source of life.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Carolyn. Carolyn, come in here. She done got on board. Amen. We're in Psalms 23, and we're still in verse number 3. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 28. We'll finish it out. Hast thou not known, and most haven't, that they'll go anywhere but the house of God. They'll go anywhere but to the Word of God. You know, I've seen them put their fingers in their ears. I've seen them. That kind of rebellion, stubbornness, whatever. Well, here, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. I don't know how many times He's helped me to make it through a day. I mean, I'm telling you, He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's all through Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. You're just not going to go far without Him. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen.
Amen.
Look, one more here. Well, maybe two more. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them. Like I said, there's a whole lot more to this Word than people ever understand. And delivered them from their destructions. You know, I have to admit, God kept me from killing myself. I was not suicidal. It's just I didn't realize there's a devil down here. And I didn't realize some of the things I was doing was going to eventually kill me, driving like an idiot and acting like an idiot. But here, He sent His Word and healed them. I got perfect healing April 27th, 1988. My soul is eternal now, thanks to this great shepherd. Now this old body, I mean, it ain't much. I look in the mirror and I realize ain't much of it even left, amen. But it's a temporary dwelling place. It's my tent for right now. I'm going to my eternal home. But right now I got eternal life, but I'm in a temporary tabernacle.
Yeah.
He sent His Word and healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look real quick here while we're this close. Psalms 103. Verse number 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, God is the great shepherd. He helps us in so many ways we don't even understand. I helped my wife fill her pill box. Mm-hmm. So much to take every day. And I'll be honest with you, I put like 17 pills in each one of them little bitty squares for the morning. I jump off a cliff while I take that much mess. I told my wife, I said, you got more faith than I do. I said, I don't have the kind of faith to take that many pills a day. And then she don't take it many at nighttime. Most of those pills are to offset another pill, I mean, I worked at a pharmaceutical place. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, it's more about money. I've seen my own eyes. I've seen the batch record, these pills. I don't care what you pay for them. To make them, they're less than a penny. 0.87 of a penny to make the most high-priced pill. How did they get the price so high, Brother Eddie? That's pretty simple. I observed it. I seen it in my own eyes. They ordered it instead of in bulk. They ordered it in bottles. They paid somebody not only to ship it to them. They pay to store it. They pay people like me to take the tops off and pour it in to make it bulk. And after you get it in a big old box, you seal it up, it's ready for production, it's in bulk. Nobody's going to sit there and pour a bottle of pills in a machine sitting there putting out these cards, these blister packs. Then if that ain't enough, then they pay to store it, pay to ship it. And how do you inflate the price? It's pretty simple. You just complicate the process.
Yeah.
I've seen it in my own eyes. If you can get a pill for less than a penny, and you end up having to pay $500 for it, I'll just tell you, God ain't like that. Everything pertains this life. He gives us freely. We got everything we need in Him. He's the great shepherd.
I see the prices of that every day, brother.
Yeah, Donnie's in, he's still in that. Yeah. He's still in that. He's the shepherd that's mentioned in John chapter number 10. And thank God He is in here. Look here. We're just going to read two verses here. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And thank God for this shepherd here. If the Lord's your shepherd, you don't have to want. He'll supply all your want out of His riches and glory. If it's in His will, amen. The Bible said we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Sometimes you can pray amiss. I've done it. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 4 here, in this short life, there will be valleys. I've been through some of those valleys myself, and thanks to that great shepherd, I'm able to keep going. One of the worst valleys I guess I was ever in. I don't know if I really got time to even elaborate on this, but I hurt my back at work and I had to go to Bowling Green, have an MRI done, and they put me in this tomb, and be honest with you, it wasn't big enough for me. They put me in there, my chest is hitting as I'm trying to breathe in this stupid thing. And before she shoved me in that stupid thing, the nurse was excellent. She was excellent. She said, Would you like to listen to some music while you're in there? And I said, no, thank you, ma'am. She said, why not? I said, you wouldn't have no music I'm interested in. She said, what kind of music are you interested in? I said, I don't want to listen to nothing that don't, it's Christian music. It don't give glory to my Savior. I said, I don't want to listen to just any music. And she said, well, I'll get you some Christian music. Sure enough, she did. She got good Christian station. I put them headphones on. She put me in there. And it wasn't too long I was in there, and this thing, it's go, stop, take a picture, and go, stop, take a picture. And it was about right here. You could kind of feel it a little bit, kind of warm you up when they take a picture. And she come in on that intercom, and she said, you okay, Mr. Wade? I said, no, I'm having a little trouble getting my breath in here. There wasn't enough room in there to cuss a cat. I'll like to be honest with you, it's kind of like being bound. She said, you want to come out for a minute? I said, yeah, I might order to. She brought me out, and she said, are you by yourself? I said, no, my wife's out there. She said, you want me to go get her? I said, yeah, you might order. I was having trouble getting my breath. I'm not proficient enough to know what the heck's going on. I just know I was struggling to get my breath. She wondered if I got my wife. My wife come in and looked at me. She said, he ain't doing no good. Call a doctor. And they called some doctor. He come here with a cup of coffee and said, call 911. He ain't doing no good. I thought, boy, what a doctor. Amen. They called 911. And they put me in a room over there. And the ambulance got there, and these two men, I mean, they come in, they flew on me. I mean, they didn't waste no time. They was all over me. They had me on oxygen. Man, they had me. I'm telling you, they was putting all kinds of stuff in me. And that little old nurse was standing by my bedside. She's shaking like a leaf. And I looked over at her. I was in one of them valleys. And I have to admit, I mean, I don't know. I thought I was dying. And I've never died before. But I got to thinking about death like I never thought about death before. Here I am in the valley of shattered death. And I thought, well, Ain't gonna have to work no more. Ain't gonna have to worry no more. Getting ready to meet my Savior. You know, when you start thinking positively about dying, I wasn't screaming, wasn't scared. That great calm was there. And that little old nurse standing there by my bedside, I said, don't leave my bedside. I said, I want to show you what a difference Jesus makes in dying. She couldn't even answer me. She was shaking so much. But you see, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. It's like being on a roller coaster ride. There wasn't nothing I could do about it. It ain't like I could get off. And I'm there, and they're going crazy. I mean, they're all over me checking vital signs and stuff. And right in the middle of all of this, my wife jumped up, come over there, stomped over at my bedside, put a finger in my face, looked like a double-barrel shotgun, Brother Jerry. She said, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday, and you need to be there. And whatever she said, whatever had a hold of me left the room, the paramedics left the room, the doctor left the room, the nurse stayed there. I have to admit, I started taking stuff off me. Them guys said, you can't do that. I said, I just did. They said, you have to sign a waiver. I said, where did I sign it? I signed that waiver. I drove us home. I'm just telling you, there'll be valleys in your life. There'll be times you don't understand why this happened to me. You won't understand what's going on. The good shepherd takes care of his sheep. You won't have to worry. I didn't worry. I never thought about death like that. I thought, well, I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more. Going home, glory to God. I had never thought about death like that. But you notice here, he says, I'll fear no evil for thou art with me. I wasn't alone. Even though I didn't realize that he was right there. Mm-hmm. He was in more control than I was, or the doctors, or anybody else. Come on in here, glory to God. I do believe that's Allie Keaton. Where's Carter?
He's not here today.
He's not here today?
He's not here today.
What about Ashley?
She's here.
All right. Praise the Lord. Glory. He said, for thou art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you know, the Bible tells us that fear brings torment in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Good to see you, Ashley.
Come here, girl. And I ain't seen you in a while.
I know.
Good to see you. Good deal, girl. We prayed for you. We ain't let up a bit. You just prayed for it this morning.
Well, thank you.
Good to see you. I love that. Hallelujah.
1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, fear brings torment. I'm going to turn there because it says more than that. And I want to comment a little bit more than just that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. It says, I must have wrote it down wrong. It looks like it's verse 18. Yeah, it is verse 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear of torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, this good shepherd tells us, let not our heart be troubled. Sometimes we do it anyway, but we don't have to, amen. He's got it. No matter what comes our way. The Bible says, it also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Brother Donnie, we always talking about that old devil. Matter of fact, me and Eric Donnie was talking about the devil just earlier before the Sunday school class. The devil's no match for our Savior. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning. Come down to this earth. I'll tell you right now, he threw devil out of heaven. And that devil, the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, the devils fear God and tremble. One day atheists, one day people that want nothing to do with God are going to know why them devils tremble. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says it's a fearful thing falling in the hands of the living God. They're going to figure out why them devils tremble if they don't get in touch with this good shepherd here, this great shepherd, amen. You notice it said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Romans 15, verse 4. It's a good verse. You might want to mark this verse. It says whatsoever things were written aforetime, like what we're studying this morning, Psalms 23, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That great shepherd gives us hope.
Yeah.
And his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Verse 5 says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Provisions are mentioned there. Protection is mentioned. Pouring out those blessings. Man, my cup runs over all the time. But the Lord here, the great shepherd, He prepares a table before us. You know, when you come to the house of God, there will be bread and fish on the fire. I hate it. People come to the house of God, they don't get nothing. They don't, benefit even from coming. You come here, I tell you, your pastor does a lot of praying, a lot of preparing. I want you to say, boy, I'm glad I went to church today. I want you to leave saying, boy, it's been good to be in the house of God today. And I don't want to tickle no ears. I want to preach the Word of God. And the Lord, of course, He's the great preacher. I'm just a messenger boy. But He gives the messages. And my job is to deliver those messages. I need to preach it just as much as y'all do. Y'all probably don't realize this, but as I'm preaching y'all, God's preaching to me and through me. I'm getting the same thing you get. I'm just getting a little different than you are. Amen? Oh boy, you got a house full, Rita. Glory. Rita's going to set a record today. Amen. I see kids coming. Member work. Hallelujah. Addie.
Thomas T.
Down there. I can't see him yet.
Yeah, he's there. He's hiding. Look out, Thomas. Don't look.
Come on in here, buddy.
I'm going to make her fall.
Get in here, Thomas.
He's just playing.
Morning, Sister Phyllis. Morning, Brother Mitchell. Hallelujah. We're teaching out of Psalms chapter 23. But we got provisions mentioned here in verse 5. We got protection mentioned here in verse 5. And we got the pouring out of those blessings of God upon us here in verse number 5. In verse number 6 says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that's contingent upon the good shepherd, the great shepherd, Sister Tammy. She's here, praise God. Hallelujah. You feel any better at all? Bless your heart. I know it ain't no fun when you don't feel good, but I'll tell you what, boy, Lord seemed like He bless you.
Exactly.
Extra portion when you put forth the kind of effort you do to be here. Bless your heart. Mm-hmm. Thomas, what are you doing, buddy? He went down again. Verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If anybody don't want that, you need to check up from a neck up.
That's right.
I want goodness. I want mercy. I want it all the days of my life. I want the blessing of God. I want the benefit of being a child of God. And the latter part of that verse is affirmative. And I will, that's affirmative, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now John 14 verse number 2 and 3 tells us a little bit about heaven. Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, He said, I would have told you. He said, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's why I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Right.
Heaven is secure because of the great shepherd. Look in Jude verses 24 and 25 right in front of Revelations. And we'll be done trying to wrap this up. Jude verses 24, 25. Now unto Him, talking about this great shepherd, that's able, and He is able. I'm not, but He is. That's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. I can't do that. He can. Before the presence of His glory, with exceeding joy. What kind of joy? For the joy that was set before Him. He is willing to endure the cross. There was a reward in that suffering. With exceeding joy. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Come on, sister. Brought a troop in here, Rita. You got more. Your room's going to be bigger than mine. Yeah, man. We might go back there and join them. Amen. Hallelujah. He said to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. In Ephesians, one more, I'll just quote this real quick, then we'll be dismissed. In Ephesians chapter number 5, it says, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the product of the great shepherd. We'll be dismissed right there. Good Sunday school lesson. 6 verses that thank God they're in there. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.